You're listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense with your host, Doug Thorpe. Here's Doug.
Hello again, everyone. This is Doug Thorpe, and you are listening to another episode of Leadership Powered by Common Sense. Today, we're going to dive into the world of advertising. My guest is a gentleman named Robert Brill, and he's going to help us understand all the many things that have changed in that world. So, Robert, welcome to the show.
Doug, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. It's a little bit of a tradition here. I like to kind of ask my guests to give a little bit of backstory of your journey to get into what it is you're doing today and how you're helping people. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. So for the last 20 years, I've worked in advertising. So I was very fortunate to start my career while I was still in college. And then 2 weeks out of 2 weeks out of college, got a job at one of the largest ad agencies in the world, Universal McCann. And I've been working in advertising since 2003. And let's see, 2013, I started my own business agency. We're bootstrapping it. And it's one of the fastest growing private companies, honored on the Inc. 5000 and Financial Times 500. And yeah, that's what we do. And our job is really, you know, we work with agencies to help them with their advertising efforts. So they outsource their ad buying to us. And then we work directly with businesses as well.
Well, congratulations on that recognition, number one. But I would like to get real basic. I mean, I like to talk a lot about common sense. And so can we break down, let's do this hypothetical. Mm-hmm. I'm a small business owner. I have a service I'm providing to the market. Mm-hmm. What do I need to know and understand about advertising opportunities today?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is before you even, so a few things, advertising, 45% of all digital ad spend is going to be run on Google and Meta. So chances are you're going to be running ads on Google and Meta because they're the two best platforms for that, the most accessible, easiest to use, but even easy by that standard is still kind of difficult. But before you even advertise, you should really look at product market fit. And product market fit is really this idea that you know how to talk about your business, who to talk to, and how to price your business so that people buy stuff from you. And advertising is an amplification of those messages that you've dialed in, you've refined so much that you know how to sell. If you don't know how to sell, then chances are you shouldn't be advertising. So that's kind of like the first thing. Because if you don't have product market fit, then you're going to amplify and spend money on a message that isn't proven to grow your business. So that's the key part of it. But once you are advertising, it's a marathon, not a sprint. By definition, just to take it to the foundational level, advertising by definition is when you're spending money to deliver a message to people. So you're buying. You're spending money with Facebook or Google or another platform like Hulu or Roku to insert your messages to an audience of people. It's not advertising if you're not spending the money to pay those platforms. So posting content on Facebook or Instagram is social media marketing. It's not advertising. Trying to work with an agency to get press in Forbes or your local publication, whatever the case is, that's not advertising, that's PR and press and publicity. So advertising by definition is going to be expensive because you're paying to reach those people, but it's the most targeted way to achieve growth at scale.
Well, for anyone who has attempted to run some of those ads, either on Facebook, now Meta, or on Google, if you did the classic DIY, you probably spent a lot of money, and I'm guessing you got no return.
Yeah. And let's talk about that, right? So there's, according to Meta, there's about 10 million businesses on Meta that are advertising. And according to Neil Patel, about 64% of those businesses fail at their advertising efforts. So when you think about what you're doing there, the vast majority of those 10 million businesses are going to be small mom and pop shops. And a lot of those companies are boosting posts. And boosting posts, you know, people don't realize it often that boosting posts is advertising. It's just there's a boost button instead of, an advertise button. And the challenge with marketing in general is that if you don't have a clear indication of what you're trying to achieve, you will not achieve it effectively. So what I mean by that is if you're just like, all right, I'm going to advertise, so I'm going to boost the post, and you spend $100, the default setting is to optimize to likes, comments, and shares or video views, some level of engagement. But you can't pay your bills with engagement. So you actually need to change the way that you advertise. You need to focus on leads and sales. Focus on what's going to keep your accounting team busy. And so the fundamental issue is that if you don't have an expert by your side helping you out with this, you're going to automatically lose the game before you even start playing, because you're looking to achieve the wrong success metric. So everything you do has to start with a strategy, which is, what are you trying to accomplish a year from now or 5 years from now? And then work your way back to what you can do today to achieve those steps. And the first thing you're going to identify is that you're not going to optimize to likes, comments, and shares. You're going to optimize to leads and sales. The second thing you're going to realize is that, well, you're going to find over time is that creative is the best path to find the right people. So the imagery, the text, the videos that people see are going to be the most compelling assets you have. And so the way in 2024, the way to really get in front of the right people is not by doing granular targeting on Meta. It's actually by doing broad targeting and rapidly changing your creatives and giving Meta the ability to route your ad creatives to the right people at the right time. So, you know, the fundamentals of advertising, the methods and practices are different, but the fundamentals are the same, meaning like you still need a strategy. You still need a KPI to optimize, a key performance indicator to optimize to. So the short of it is, hire an expert and pay them a little bit of money so that you don't waste tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars doing the wrong thing for a long period of time.
So you said something interesting. I know a lot of business owners that I've worked with who are really sensitive to that idea of sort of locking in on a target avatar. And if I understood you right, you were saying, in 2024, at least like on a Meta or maybe even a Google platform, going broad is the place to start. So did I hear you right?
You sure did. And I'll tell you why. Because when you look at keyword and interest targeting on Meta, and you look at lookalike and retargeting, those are very granular audiences. And Meta, and you don't have to take my word for it, Google, you can go to Google and search for Meta Performance 5. It's a way that Meta wants businesses to work with the advertising platform. And what it says is that you'll get better advertising performance when you go broad. So I'll give you an example of what this looks like. Our audience are agencies. That's who we market to, because we want them to work with us, and we'll run their ads and they'll do the creative. So there's about, in aggregate, there's about 40,000 agencies in the United States. And let's say there's 80,000 people who could work with us, meaning like the number one and number two at the agency. So I'm targeting 80,000 people. So that's who I want to reach. But what Meta does is I can target 140 million people in the United States with my targeting parameters, and Meta will route my ad creative to the people who are interested in my particular message, because Meta, using AI and machine learning algorithms, understands what I'm uploading. It understands the messages that I have inside my images and in the text. So for someone who, it basically looks at all of its aggregated data for the last 10 or 20 years and current data, what people are searching for, where people go in the physical world, what people do outside of Meta, like when they're searching the web or when they're listening to music, the business stuff the person does. They understand what type of person it is. So when an ad message says, hey, we do white label media buying, it's going to route the message to people who have expressed interest through their browsing behavior as white label media buying, or they're a creative shop, or they're a marketing firm, or something like that. A person, like, for example, my mother. My mother, if she were not my mother, she would have no interest in advertising whatsoever. She's interested in astrology and Publishers Clearinghouse and playing games. Okay. So that person, that avatar that would be identified by my mother, she would never get my ad message. Because Meta understands what that person is interested in. But the other person, let's call her Jamie. Let's say Jamie works at an agency. Meta knows this person works at an agency and is a decision maker at the agency. It knows that I'm delivering ads to agencies. That's who I want to reach. And as a result, it gives my message to that person and people like Jamie. So the point here is that it's sort of the similarity is like search engine optimization. Like Google knows when you type in a phrase, when you type in like Britney Spears, it knows the top 10 websites to show you that are relevant to like Britney Spears. My website would never come up because I have absolutely nothing to do with Britney Spears whatsoever, because it understands the language on the page, understands the imagery. It's the same concept, but applied differently.
That okay, and I say that because as a small business owner myself, I have invested a lot over the years in pursuing coursework, contractors, freelancers, etc., who want to help me with my Facebook and my Google. But they are always going on that drilling down. Let's try to define your audience. And the you know, 90% of the content they are providing in training, you know, quote, is about how to define that audience. And what you're saying is Meta's doing that for you. You just have to focus on the messaging that you want to put out there.
100%. So you still need to define your audience. It just doesn't go into targeting. Defining your audience helps you understand the creative to develop.
Okay, let's talk about that a minute. So elaborate on that.
Yeah. So, my ideal persona. You talk about people who are in. So, I'll take it away from you, and I'll talk about generally. The more you can identify your target audience's problems, and then communicate those problems in ad creative, that's how you're going to succeed. So you still need to know who you're talking to. You're still going to need to know what they want, what the transformative value is for your business. You're still going to need to understand why they need to buy from you and what and how they think about your business. So you need to understand the psychology and the behavioral aspects of your customers in relation to your business. But so that information gets delivered not in the targeting, but the ad creative. So you're going to say things that identify the problems your customer faces in your ads. So okay. For example, for us, you know, there's two key value propositions in general. Number one is generate a completely new revenue stream for your business by making money on top of the work that we do. And deliver stickier, closer client relationships. And the reason for that is there are many companies who do like creative work or general marketing work and ad buying work. So if you just do creative work, your client will still need ad buying, which means they're going to need another agency that does ad buying, which then means that that agency that does ad buying probably also does creative work, which means that you are inviting a direct competitor to a seat at the table to work with your client if you just do creative work. So you defend against potential threats by offering creative development and ad buying together. All that is to say that you really need to understand your audience and express to your audience the transformative value that you have. The other part of this is going to be a creative testing framework. So let me take a moment. So the way you know what creative is the most relevant to your audience is the following. You do this creative testing framework that has three steps. Step one is you develop 5 ads per month. That's all you have to do. If you can commit to making 5 ads per month, you're in a good place. 5 ads on Meta will give you 5 headlines at the bottom, 5 images or video in the middle, and 5 primary texts at the top. And what you're going to do is you're going to mix and match all the different elements, mix and match them together. You have 5 times 5 times 5, which gives you 125 possible ad variations out of those 5 that you've developed. You're then going to use science, controlled and variable testing, to understand which of those elements are most impactful to the audience on Meta. And then over the course of a month, you're going to understand which headline is the most impactful, which image or video is most impactful, and which primary text is most impactful. And Meta is going to then give you, is going to tell you through the post ID, is going to tell you which one ad is the absolute, your all-star ad out of 125 possible ad variations, which means you created 5, you actually have 125 variations, and now you have one that is your all-star ad. And most of your activity, most of your leads and your sales are going to come from those all-star ads. So you can even use Meta to understand which creative is most impactful for your business. And there's a few benefits there. You are training Meta's machine learning algorithm to find your best customers. You are also generating insights back to your business about which products, services, offers, discounts, and even audiences resonate most for your business. And when you do this month in and month out, you're constantly improving your knowledge about your business in relation to your customer. And also you're improving how well Meta can find your customers for you by feeding it those ad creative executions.
So I'm getting real technical here because I've been there and tried this, and I hope others that are, who are listening can empathize, because they probably, like me, have tried to do it all without hiring somebody. And that is, when I think of going into the Facebook Ads Manager, you know, there is that place to define your audience. Mm-hmm. How far and what buttons do you click to set up what you might think of as your primary audience?
Yeah. So let's go into the detail here. You're going to create a campaign. You're going to, depending on which step you are in the creative testing process, but you're going to use, and it also depends on your business KPI. So let's say you choose a conversions button. You're not going to use traffic. You're not going to use awareness. There is a place for awareness at the very first 3 days. You're going to do a little bit of testing, but we're going to skip that part. Like 70, 80% of your ad spend is going to go to a conversion, either a lead or a sale. So let's say you choose conversion, which is a sale. Then you go in and you're going to select your targeting, which will be age, gender, and location. That's all you're going to target. So if you're a restaurant and you know that people will travel max 5 miles to eat your food, then your broad geographic targeting is 5 miles. If you target 10 miles, then, you know, you're losing, it's a waste. For us, B2B services, we work with people, with companies all across the United States. So our broad audience is United States. And then age for us is going to be 25 to about 65, because you figure about 65 is when people retire. Although not to say, there could be entrepreneurs. And then you have gender, men and women. We work with men and women. Now, if you're a business that, you know, typically sells to women, then you're going to choose women there. So that's your targeting. That's all you're going to target. You're not going to do keywords or interests. You're not going to do lookalike. You're not going to do retargeting, because all of that stuff is happening for you and you're letting Meta do it for you. That's it. And then you go into the ad set, into the ad level, and then you're uploading your creative.
And flipping over to the Google world for Google pay-per-click, Is that same concept, does it apply there in Google as well?
So typically what we do is we will, if Meta is on the campaign, we will have Meta, and Meta is on most campaigns. We are going to take the learnings from Meta and deploy them to every other platform. Now there is a general trend happening. So the broad targeting on Meta is the algorithmic decision engine that you're using. On Google, you have Performance Max, which is also an algorithmic decisioning engine. There's very little targeting, and you're uploading a bunch of creative executions, and you're letting Google deliver your ads to the right people at the right time across many different places, including Gmail, YouTube, Google search, any of the locations that are any of the entities, inventory sources that are owned by Google. In TikTok, you have smart performance ads, which are the same thing. You upload a bunch of creative executions, broad targeting, and the ads just go to find your right customer. So there's this trend among the major platforms that they want you to use the algorithm to find people. And the way and one of the ways that you help the algorithm be smarter is new creative executions, the creative testing on Meta, and the pixel will help the platform understand who your customers are.
So getting that Meta pixel applied properly is a pretty big deal for getting your analytics right.
100%. It's good for analytics. It's good for making the platform smarter about who your customers are. When you run multiple platforms, you're going to have to deduplicate your conversion activity. And there's a high definition way, meaning expensive, and a low def way, meaning inexpensive. So the low def way is you have a document that tracks your source of truth sales, like your actual sales, like what your accounting team sees. You track the number of sales by day. You track the number of the value of those sales, or if you're doing lead generation, the number of leads. And you track that over time, and you're going to understand, even though if there's overlap, right? Like if Facebook says they deliver 10 leads and Google says they deliver 10 leads, that should equal 20, but you only show 15. So you'll know over time, in a directional sense, where to optimize the campaign. Because you're going to make changes to ad spend, and you're going to see that, you know, when you make changes to ad spend, it has a certain positive or negative effect on the campaign. The more high touch way is to use tools that, you know, are anywhere between $20,000 and $100,000 a month to a year, I should say, to deploy that automatically dedupe based on settings that you input on it.
So if a brand new business owner shows up and says, I need your service, and I've coordinated with my ad creative source, and now you're going to do the ad spend for me, what's the time horizon before they might start seeing any impact or any return on that investment?
The first 1 to 3 months, you'll see a positive outcome. We typically, you know, we have very minimal barriers to entry. You know, $1,500 a month, you can start working with us, and which is inclusive of the ad spend, by the way. And, you know, contract requirements are flexible, but we generally recommend 3 months to start with.
Okay. And again, to be clear, because you had broken it out, does your agency do creative as well, or you exclusive? Okay.
We do creative as well for clients that need it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And is that different in that 1500 entry point? Is there another layer for the creative?
Yeah, it's an additional $500 a month for creative development. Those five ads that you need to create that testing framework, that's what that covers.
Got it. Interesting. Well, you know, so much has changed and the landscape feels like it keeps moving. And I'm always, when it comes to marketing and advertising, I'm always reminded of the famous quote from some CEO somewhere that said, half of my marketing budget is not effective. I just don't know which half.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've been taught in the digital space that everything is attributable down to the last dollar. But what I think is interesting is that we're moving away from that because of privacy legislation. The platforms are under a far more scrutiny about how they're using data. So as a result, they're pulling back access to the data, and the methods and practices that kind of like work on the platform start to change, which is why you have this trend of large algorithmic decisioning rather than very granular targeting. Now, the exception to that is Google search. Google search is still very granular. Like you can serve ads on two keywords and it'll fill your pipeline. You know, like we run ads on white label media buying, and you know, it's good. So the point is there's still, but even there, either you're using the algorithm to mix and match 15 different headlines and 4 descriptions. So you're still giving it a lot of different variation to choose from because the algorithm can still add a layer of optimization that is going to drive performance.
So when you talk about that mixing and matching of the headline, the image, and the text, is the platform doing that for you, or you've got, you know, go back to your meta, the five, 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 and five.
Yeah.
Is the platform doing that mixing and matching to basically come back with a, you know, all-star winner?
Yeah. So it's a combination of two processes. So in the very first step, and I have a 13-minute video on our website that goes into detail, which I can share with you. And anyone listening that wants, email me, robert@brillmedia.co, type, you know, in the subject line, just write Facebook ads or Facebook creative or something, or creative testing. And I'll just respond back with the link. So you're doing a mix and match. By default, the platform, will mix and match for you, but there's a layer before you do that. So here's what you're going to do. So the very first step of this creative testing framework on Meta is you're going to run a control and variable test on the ads. So control and variable test means, let's say you're testing the headline. The headline is at the bottom of the ad, which means you're going to create 5 different ads. Each ad is going to have a different headline, but the image is going to be the same on all 5, and the primary text is going to be the same on all 5. So that if you see any difference in performance, you know that it's because of the headline. It's because of the headline. Then the next 5, you're going to test the images. So the headline is going to be the same on all 5. The primary text at the top will be the same, and then the images will be different. And you do the same with the primary text. Okay. So that will cull from 125 possible ad variations down to about 20. Could be less, it could be even like 16 or 12, but under 20. Then with the 20 remaining possible ad variations that you have, meaning the winners of the headline, image, and primary text test, you upload those into as one ad on Meta, a dynamic creative ad, and then Meta will determine when to serve different combinations of the elements that you have. So it uses the algorithm to determine when to serve the headline with the text and the image, right? So if you have 2 headlines, 2 images, and 2 text and 2 primary text, it'll mix and match in all the different variations possible. When you're on Google, for example, and you upload the 15 headlines and 4 descriptions, you are actually giving Google the ability to mix and match at will. So like in the ad, you'll have like 2 or 3 headlines and a description, just constantly mixing and matching.
So how long, when you first launch one of those efforts, how long does it take to get meaningful results on that 5, 5, and 5 combo?
You'll know within a month.
Okay.
Within a month, you will have the goal for that 30-day period is to have that one all-star ad.
Got it.
That's the goal. And you will also be just, while you're in the process of determining which one ad is your best ad, you are optimizing to a lead or a sale for your business. So you're getting business results. So I'd say about 95% of your budget is optimized to leads and sales, or whatever your metric is. And then, you know, at the end of month one, you're going to have that one ad that goes into an ad group that is your all-star ad group. And then that ad is running. And then month two, you're doing the same creative test. So you start to have a lot of your budget optimized to your all-star ads.
Yeah, and to your point, even though you haven't reached that full all-star ad, if you are getting responses and new customers, new leads coming in, and you successfully convert them into your sales funnel, you've got revenue to offset this cost of doing these campaigns, and it's starting to be a self-funded effort.
100%. I mean, and that's the goal, right? And that's how you grow from spending $1,000 a month to $10,000 a month and beyond. And this replaces other methods of running ads in Meta. So you're not also doing the keyword and interest targeting or the lookalike targeting. This is all in. So that way, once you have the winners and you see them scale, you can really grow your business effectively and profitably.
And that's where I have talked with business owners who have done the work. They've pretty well perfected the type of creative and content they're putting out there. And so they've got their engine. Now what they can flex is the amount of investment they're doing every month. If they want to go to the Bahamas, they'll just say, all right, let's drop back to $1,000 a month and, you know, just let it run. Yeah. Or if, you know, if they're really hungry, they can go, yeah, let's do 10 grand this month and, you know, juice the pipeline that way.
100%. The way to get to that spend is you've got to constantly be developing ads. And then there's a methodology about how you create, like the types of ads you create. So for every month, you're creating a concept. And these concepts are kind of like never ending, and they pertain to your business. But in general, you could do positive ads or negative ads. Negative ads say, don't ruin, don't fail, don't miss. Positive ads are like, you know, get the most out of your business, you know, positive language, any positive thing. You can do long form text or short form text, long form video or short form video, static images, ugly ads. And ugly ads are basically like ads that, ugly ads do well, but it's ads that are very simple. Like I see a lot of advertisers taking post-it notes, writing something on it, taking a photo of the post-it note, and that's the ad. Simple. You can use influencers or user-generated content, you know, people who talk about a life in the day and your product is integrated into that experience. So now you're testing a lot of different things and you can isolate the thing that works really well and scale that up as well.
You know, you talk about the negative and positive. In my early days when I landed on my show title and tagline, Leadership Powered by Common Sense, I was interviewing a marketing agency that I was thinking about hiring. And first thing out of the box they said was, we hate that tagline. You got to change all that. That's never going to work. And I went, really? Well, guess what? You're not my agency.
Yeah, that's silly.
Because I had already done my own sort of informal survey with my, you know, contact base, my network. I'd actually done a little bit of a survey on LinkedIn, and I got very positive results for it. And I thought, yeah, well, that feels a little short-sighted. So
100%. And yeah. The name Yahoo didn't exist until it did. Yeah. And now people recognize it, right? Like the name is a thing that stands for something. Yeah. And it's important for people to commit to a name and move forward and build the success of that name.
Funny story on that. Here, you know, most states have it, but where I live in Texas, we certainly have vanity license plates for cars.
Yeah.
My wife in high school had the vanity plate Yahoo. And
really?
she let it go.
Oh no.
So and yes, her high school days preceded the coming of Yahoo as a platform, but we laugh about that to this day.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows? But anyway, well, Robert, tell us again that link you had, how people can get a hold of you and get that tutorial.
Yeah, absolutely. My email is robert@brillmedia.co, B as in boy, R-I-L-L, media.co. And email me in the subject line, say Facebook ads or creative testing, and I'll shoot you the link. And our website is brillmedia.co if you want to learn more about our business and even set a time to talk with me.
Awesome. Well, as always, folks, we'll have that in the show notes so you can just mash the link there and jump right to it. But Robert, any last parting word of wisdom you want to share with somebody that may be struggling with their ad spend and activity there?
Yeah, if you're struggling, come reach out to me and I'll help you. I mean, The reality of it is like you can have a free conversation with us and, you know, talk about your marketing and advertising. We'll give you tips that you can deploy specific to your situation. General tips, I would say, is hire an expert, because the experts are going to accelerate your ability to make good financial investments and good time investments for your business. And, you know, it's a long, tenuous journey being an entrepreneur. And everything is going to take more time and more money than you expect it to have. And the people who are successful are the ones who have the greatest level of stick-to-itiveness.
Love it. Love it. Well, Robert, one last time, thank you for sitting in and sharing all this with us. I know it's timely and very important, particularly for those in my audience who are struggling, trying to run a business and grow that lead gen and that topside revenue number.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, folks, with that, we're going to bring this to a wrap. I do want to remind you, if you're listening on your favorite streaming service, we do have a video version of this over on YouTube, channel by the same name, Leadership Powered by Common Sense, that tagline that my original marketing company didn't like. But go out there, check out the archive, leave me a comment or a message or a recommendation on a new show, new topic, or maybe if you yourself think you should be a guest, I'm happy to entertain that discussion as well. But anyway, we're going to close out. Go out there, make it a great day.
You've been listening to Leadership Powered by Common Sense, hosted by Doug Thorpe. If you would like to know more about the coaching and advisory services he provides, visit DougThorpe.com.